Amen. It is good to be here. It is good to be in the United States. Amen. Amen. We added it up the other night, and brother, I was talking to Brother Shane, and we were anywhere between 32 to 33 hours of just travel time when we left the orphanage there at Moshi to the time that we pulled in there at his house, about 32 to 33 hours of travel time. And when we were able to get to the house and I was able to be with my family, I said, thank God. Amen. Thank God. It was a good time over there in Africa. I feel like it was a very productive trip. Brother Shane had it right this morning when he was saying that we were not over there on vacation. And I'm going to be honest, the very first day was probably the most relaxed day that we had. And y'all going to think we're crazy. We slept in till 11 o'clock. And the reason being, I mean, you travel 30-some hours to get there. And you've traveled several different time zones, and all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm wide awake. And you're going to bed 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and you don't even understand. You wake up at 4 o'clock, and you're still wide awake. So we woke up at 11, and even that day, as soon as we got out of bed, it was wide open. But God was with us. God was with us. And we felt like Brother Shane was already sharing, and I'm sure I wish we could be here for the presentation, but I understand, we can't be here for that. But it was a good time. It was a good time. Brother Shane, it took Brother Shane a little bit to get used to the currency over there. We had gone to a store. They don't have Walmart, okay? They don't have gas stations where you can just walk in and buy food. You have convenience stores, and they're there at your convenience, and you walk in, and whatever they have is what you get. Now, I mean, there's really not a big option. And so we had gone there the first day. We had went to the bank, did a money exchange, and I'm telling you, we look like millionaires walking out with a wad of cash about that big. And I'm telling you, you're running with the big boys now. Amen. But we go to that first convenience store, and Brother Wood said, you guys take care of this stuff, we take care of this. And I told Brother Shane, I said, I got it, don't worry. And the woman said, this is going to be 16,000 shillings. And Brother Shane's like, brother, let me pitch in here. I'm like, no, it's not a big deal. And so we gave 16,000 shillings. We go out to the truck, and Brother Shane was so concerned. Brother, I need to give you some money. I said, bro, I spent $4 in there. You ain't got to worry about it. Just buy my drink next time. It's no big deal, I promise you. And he's like, do the math. So we checked out the math. I think it came out to be like right at $5. And I said, I'm telling you, brother. I said, we're going to make it in hog heaven over here. We're all right. I wish we could go back to, there's this restaurant over there I'm sure he'll tell you about. It's called Jackfruit. And it is more of a westernized restaurant. And you can buy a cheeseburger with chips or cheeseburger with fries, and it comes with a salad. And it's not really salad. I don't know what it is, but you can buy it for about 20,000 to 25,000 shillings. You're probably like, good grief, it's $8, y'all. Yeah. And could you imagine in the United States if we can go and feed ourselves for $8 for one person, we'd be a lot better off. Amen. Amen. It was a good time. And I appreciate the opportunity that we had to go. And I'm glad I was able to spend it with your pastor. Amen. I know that this church has been a big supporter of that mission work over there. And he's going to show you some things that you guys have had a huge part of. And I believe God's going to bless you for it. I believe he has blessed you for it. Amen. Amen. Thank God for it. I appreciate this opportunity that we have to be able to minister here. I'm thankful that Brother Shane was willing to open up the pulpit to us here tonight. I understand the hesitation. He's been gone. And, the Holy Ghost moved here this morning. And I appreciate the invitation that's been extended to us even still. And we do not take it lightly. I do feel like the Lord has given us some direction for tonight. If you have your Bibles, open up, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. The book of Joshua, chapter 24. We're going to be reading verses 14 and 15. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. If you got it, those that are able, let's stand for the reading of God's word. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt. Serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land that you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to take these verses of scripture that we have read from here tonight. I've got a simple thought, nothing highfalutin. You're not going to be blown away by this message. I want to take these two verses that we have read from tonight. I want to preach to us simply. I'm going to preach to us on this thought, the house. The house. You going to help me preach? I'm going to hold you to it. Amen. I'm trusting that you will. Shut your hand this way. Ask the Lord to help anoint in this place. Everybody praying together. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this opportunity that we have had to be in your house. We're so thankful for the Spirit of God that we feel in this place. We're thankful for the testimony of the saints, God. Lord, how you've moved on prayers, Lord, requests that have been given unto you. God, we've come to the time of preaching, Lord, here in this service where the Word of God is to be opened up and expounded. Lord, I pray that you help me to be able to deliver what you have laid on my heart. God, anoint us, Father, to be able to preach your Word. Let every ear, every heart be open to receive. Oh, God, move on us. Move on us. God, we'll be sure to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. You're worthy of it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. The house. One thing that I have realized living in this day and age in which we are living in, there is not a major focus on the house. It seems as if society in its fullness has directed its focus from the house, and it seems as if society in its fullness has moved it to a substitutionary, insignificant agenda and way of life. It is no longer about focusing on the family and keeping the family together. It has shifted from that to being men pleasers. Let's just do whatever makes you happy. And if you look at the society in which we are living in, you will see that our society supports just that. Go ahead, young man, and abandon your family and let your son be raised by their mother alone, never having a father figure to show him how to be a man. Go ahead, young lady, and leave your husband, the father of your children, to chase after the desires of your heart. It's all about how you feel. Go ahead, parents, and neglect disciplining your children. Neglect giving them boundaries to make them good, wholesome children. And let the TV raise them and let them hang out with just anyone and everyone. And you will see that this has become the theme of this day and hour in which we are living in, where people are no longer, they no longer want to be held to the responsibility of keeping and maintaining a family.
it seems as if we are living in a generation, amen, that has matured physically, but in their minds, they are still children. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to turn 30 years old here next month, and I'm a little nervous about it. Amen. I've been 20 for a while now, and to turn 30 years old, that's kind of a big deal. Amen. I feel like there's going to be a lot more that's going to be required of me. But in all reality, it seems as if, just to be honest, it seems as if we have got a lot of 30-year-old men who actually act like children. It seems as if we are living in a day and hour, and it seems as if people are just doing what they want to do, and there is no regard for responsibility. Amen. And this is the tragedy of America, a land where if something is broken, you just throw it away and get a new one. It's not worth the time, nor is it worth the effort in fixing something that might end up falling apart again. And we see it everywhere that we look. And you wonder why no one keeps a car for a long time here in the United States. Because as soon as it breaks down, they want to trade it in for something different. They don't want to fix what is broken. And it seems as if this has become the theme of the age in which we are living in. This is why families are broken. This is why children are put on the back burner. And they seem as if they are a second thought. This is why America is in the mess that we are in today. All because of this idea of it's better off not fixing. Let's just go ahead and move on from what has been broken down. Amen. You may not agree with what I'm about to say, and that's all right. Amen. You can have your own feelings. We do live in the United States. Amen. But there has been oftentimes where our government has pushed and legalized agendas that has destroyed the very idea of the traditional household. Amen. They have destroyed the very idea of the household. And when we read in our text here tonight, here in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, he says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." When we begin to look at that word house that is used here, it is the word betheth. And in summary, it simply means a house or a place of habitation. Amen. It is simply the place that you're going to go to here. Amen. Here after a while. But in a broader meaning, this word means more than just a place of habitation. This word has a variation of applications. It means a family household, a family of descendants, or simply a family. It also means a birthplace or a beginning place for an individual. And thirdly, it means to build, to obtain children, to make, repair, and to set up. And after studying and understanding these definitions of this word, I believe that there are some things, there are some points that we can bring out tonight, amen, in dealing with the house. Number one, we're going to be dealing with the house, the place of habitation. Number two, we're going to be dealing with the family, the people who make up your household. And then thirdly, we're going to be dealing with the heart, the birthplace or the beginning place of every individual. Now, before we get too far into this message here tonight, I want us to understand that all of these points are completely relative. If there is no structure at the house, then your family will fall apart. If your heart is not right with God, then your family will suffer. And if your family is not structured, then it will cause pain and a heartache. Amen. Let's talk about these just for a little while. Firstly, let's talk about the house, the physical location that you're going to go to here after the service is over. Amen. And perhaps after you eat pizza later on tonight, you're going to go back to what? You're going to go back to your house. And as Christians, we tend to lose how significant the house is, especially in this day and age in which we are living in. See, the house is something that is comforting, and it is something that is yours. It's always nice to go on vacation. It's always nice to go and travel away from home. Amen. But listen, friend, there is nothing like being able to come home after a vacation or spending, a week and a half over in Africa. There ain't nothing like being able to come home and to sleep in your own bed. There ain't nothing like being able to go home and to shower in your own shower, to eat from your own pantry, to cook in your own, from your own dishes. There's nothing like it. Even while evangelizing, there are times where me and my family have to stay in evangelist quarters or church houses. And sure, it is nice, and we like the space, and we like everything that comes with it. But even my boys can tell you, there is nothing like going home and sleeping in the camper. There's nothing like our camper routine, where we wake up in the morning and we make a cup of coffee, and there's nothing else, that we have to worry about. It's our own personal space that we're able to retreat to. See, the house is a familiar place. It is somewhere where we are able to just relax and to be ourselves. And you would probably think that the Bible does not have a lot to say about the house, but Jesus tells us there in Matthew 6:6 that this is to be a place of personal devotion. He says, when you go into your room and you shut your door, you pray unto the Father which is in secret. Listen to me, friend, here tonight, we need to establish a distinction between the church and the house. Church is a place where we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. Church is a place where we get lost, where the lost and undone is able to come and get their hearts right with God. Church is a hospital for the sick and the afflicted. Church is a place where there is liberation and freedom available for the bound and the bruised. Church is a place where Christians are able to come together as a body and receive help and strength and the unity of the Spirit. Church is a place where we come and get what we need from the Lord, either corporately like this morning and individually as well. But listen to me, friend. Church is not the place for us to start to worship God. Worship starts at the house. Amen. I said, church is not a place for us to start worshiping God. Worship starts at the house. Church is not a place for you and I to display our personal devotion. Personal devotion starts at the house. Church is not a place where we crucify our flesh. Crucifying our flesh, it begins at the house. Church is not a place for us to start living right. Living right starts at the house. Church is not the place for us to show our dedication to God. Dedication unto God needs to be displayed in the very house in which you and I are living in. And we have got to be careful not to only live our Christian life when we walk through these four doors, while we walk through these doors inside of these four walls, but we must live this Christian life at the house where no one's able to keep us accountable, where it's just you and God. I'm telling you, friend, this is the problem that we are facing as Christians. We live our lives as if we're only supposed to be Christians at the church house. I'm telling you, friend, we've got to be as much Christians at the church house as we are at our own house. We've got to understand we can't just be devoted here. We've got to be devoted at our house. We can't show signs of worship here if we're not worshiping God at our house. It begins at the house. Amen. I've heard people say, man, I'm about to say a word that you shouldn't be saying nowadays. Man, when, might want to cover ears, COVID hit America like it did, it caused a lot of problems within the church. Have you not heard that too? Man, when COVID hit us, buddy, it caused a lot of problems in the church. Let me say it like this. Pressure does not create problems. It reveals the problems. A couple years ago, I was working there at Moxley's, and I had the privilege of being able to build a hydraulic tank for a truck that was a crane truck, and it had to be made, completely special, because of where it was fitting and all this stuff, and what they had sent was messed up, and so I had to build it from scratch. And what they did is they took what I have welded together, and they put air into it, to see if it could withhold the pressure of the hydraulic tank. Listen to me, friend. If that air began to escape at all, I wasn't able to stand there and say, if you didn't put the air there, then there wouldn't be a problem. No, friend, the pressure from the air revealed the problem from within the weld. Listen to me, friend. I can say it like this. Pressure does not create the problem. It reveals the problem. When the pastors at our church met together to discuss what we're going to do during COVID, I told the pastors there, I said, brothers, either we'll come back in revival or we will come back repenting. And that's exactly what happened. People were only devoted at the church house, and yet they were not devoted at their own house. And that's why we found out in the midst of it all that this one backslid, and that one backslid, and this one ran off, and that one's drinking again, and that one's on drugs again. I'm telling you, friend, we've got to be more devoted than in that church of God. We've got to be devoted at our house. We've got to serve God regardless if we're able to come together in the house of the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, it didn't create the problem, it revealed the problem. We started seeing exactly how people's hearts really were. You take church away from certain individuals, I'm telling you, friend, they will backslide quicker than you can blink. And that's a problem. I said that's a problem because there might be a day where our government makes us not be able to gather together again. Are you going to be able to serve God? I said, are you going to be able to serve God? I may not be able to come to church all the time like I need to, but listen to me, friend, I've made up my mind. I'm going to serve God at my house. I'm going to worship at my house. I'm going to be devoted at my house. This is where personal devotion starts. It starts at the house. Amen. Starts the house. The house is the very foundation of our lives. If you're not devoted to God at the house, we're not devoted to God at all. Would to God that someone would stand up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will be devoted at the house. We will pray at the house. We will read at the house. We will worship God at the house. Amen. Amen. Now listen. Brother Israel used to always say, your children should catch you praying. He said, now don't stage it now. What he's saying is like, oh, they're coming here. And your children should catch you praying. Husbands, your wives should wake up in the morning and hear you moaning and groaning in the Spirit of God. Amen. Come on here now. Oh, come on. Listen, friend. We shouldn't just be devoted to God here at the church of God. We shouldn't just be praying here at church. We shouldn't just be hearing the word of God here at church. We must not just worship here at church. All of this must be done at our houses, at our homes. Them babies, your children, your wives, your husbands will spend more time at the house than they do in church. Unless you're an evangelist. Then your church, whatever church you're at, it's your house, okay? There was a time when I was working in Ohio. Man, we were working crazy overtime. There was a guy that was there. He worked with me, but he also went to church with me. I told him, I said, buddy, I'm going to go ahead and let you know. I see you more than I see my wife. Amen.
That was a problem. I was seeing him all the time. Fact of the reality is this, more often than not, your family will see you at your house more than they see you in church. Amen. We need to show a display of personal devotion at our house. Brother Austin, move on. Yes, sir. Secondly, let's talk about the family. In a world that is trying everything that they can to destroy the family, it is absolutely imperative for us to build our family off of the right foundation. This world would say, give them a bright future. Let me tell you this. I agree. We need to do our best to give our families and our children a bright future. Not because I have worked and gave them everything that they wanted. Not because I have worked and left them money and possessions. But that I have worked to give them a heritage of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you hear what I said? I said we need to give them a bright future. And the future is this. That they have a heritage that they know. That they are able to serve God. That they're able to know what it's like to live a life of righteousness. Their foundation should not be built off of the process of the possessions of this world, but their foundation should be laid off of laying up treasures in heaven. We need to lay a foundation so our children can have a good heritage. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, anyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be likened unto a man who has built his house upon a rock. But anyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be likened unto a man who has built his house upon the sand. I believe I preached it the last time I was here. But if you look at sand in the simplest form, you would begin to realize that it is simply small bits and pieces of broken down rock. And there are many times, many ways that this analogy can be preached. But I want us to understand this. That some of us, if we're not careful, we will live our lives upon the sand. And because we're living our lives off of the bits and pieces of the Word of God, if we're not careful, our lives will sink in the sand. I'll live this principle, not that principle. I'm okay with this, and I'm okay with this, but you can save that for someone else. Man, I don't believe there's a man or a woman in here that would just blatantly come out and say, I don't want to live this book. But in the recesses of our minds, we are picking and choosing what we live out of the Word of God. It must not be done, friend. We have got to live our lives on the whole unadulterated Word of God. And this is how we can structure our family. Listen to me, friend. Let me tell you, Daddy, your children know if you built your house upon the rock or if you built your house upon the sand. Let me tell you, Mama, amen, your babies know if you're living by the Word of God or if you're living by your own will. Let me tell you, young people, amen, you've got younger people that are going to be looking up to you, and they can tell if you're living true to the Word of God or if you're living in bits and pieces of God's Word. Let me remind you, sir. Let me remind you, ma'am. The church can tell if you're living on the rock or if you're living in the sand. If you're living in the sand, your attitude will sink. Your character will sink. Your worship will sink. Your priorities, they will sink. We've got to live our lives off the Word of God. That'll be the best thing for our family. I've got to serve God. My wife is at stake. I've got to serve God. My babies are at stake. I've got to serve God. My undying soul is at stake. I'm telling you, friend, we've got to work on our families. Amen. Got to work on our families. Now, if I was attending this church, you would get to know Brother Austin a lot better than what you do. A lot better than what you do. No, anyway, a lot better than you do now. I don't know what I was trying to say, y'all.
I was waiting for an interpreter. Amen. I can't blame nobody else this time. Last time, I'd be like, they didn't understand me, you know. You get to know me more than you do now. And you realize that even though Brother Austin's sitting on them drums and it looks like he's about to kill somebody, he don't mean none of it. And it's just my face. But you'll also be able to catch on when Brother Austin's not doing good. Amen. You see it. Man, he's a little off. Brother Austin, I don't know if he's been building his house upon the sand or not. But I can tell you this now. He ain't acting right. You'll be able to tell. Don't you think you can come to church, be able to hide it from everybody? We see you. Amen. We know. We've got to build our house upon the Word of God. Your children depend on it. Your wives depend on it. It's time, amen, it's time to button up. It's time to get a hold of this thing and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yes. We're going to serve the Lord. If I have anything to do with them babies raising, how they're raised, I'm going to teach them the Word of God the best that I can. I'm not going to just do it just by saying this is what the Word of God says. I'm going to show them how to live a life that is righteous in the sight of God. And I must realize that if my house isn't built on the rock, it's going to struggle. They're going to struggle in their lives. There's things that, I'm not trying to get into this, you know, you would play the world's smallest violin, but there's things that I'm dealing with today as an almost 30-year-old man that if I was taught different, I wouldn't be dealing with it as a grown man. It is time for us to man up. It is time for us to woman up and live according to the Word of God. Thirdly, the heart. We need to understand that if we're going to serve the Lord outside of these four walls, if we're going to keep our families in line by living on the rock, we have got to make sure that our hearts are right with God. This is our house, being it is the beginning place or the starting place of our very being. This is where our passions lie. Out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaketh. In this world that we live in, we are constantly fighting and warring to make sure that we're right with God. It can be extremely easy for us to get sucked into all different types of distractions and nonsense. It seems as if every distraction and weight has been thrown at us, and no matter what we do, we're being fought. But there has to come a place where you have to purpose in your heart that you're going to serve the Lord. Did you hear me? You have to what? Purpose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. It is a choice to serve God. Can you say amen? Amen. The conviction of God comes and deals. The Spirit of God comes and convicts your heart, begins to deal with your soul. You have a choice. Am I going to serve God or not? Amen. It is a choice.
And there comes a place where we have to purpose in our hearts to serve the Lord. We have options and we have the ability to choose whether or not, amen, we're going to serve God or do His will. But Joshua said it plainly, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land that you dwell in. He said, make up your mind. Are you going to serve the Lord or not? Amen. Are you going a purpose in your heart? I've made up my mind. I'm going to make it. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter if my family forsakes me. It doesn't matter if I'm being persecuted. I'm going to serve the Lord. I said, I'm going to serve the Lord. I've made up my mind. My heart is set. I'm going with Jesus all the way.
I say it like this. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't go back. I won't go back. The world behind me and the cross before me. Listen to me, friend. I've made up my mind. I'm going to make it. I've decided to follow the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. I have purposed in my heart. I'm going to serve Him no matter what. As my wife comes to the piano here tonight. Yeah, we've got options. Whether we're going to serve God or not. We have the ability to figure out, you know, hey, do I want to continue to serve God? Do I want to stop? Do I want to go forward? Do I not want to? Amen. Now, I understand it's not black and white, friend. I understand today you can't just be serving the Lord. Tomorrow I'd be like, you know what, I'm done. You probably backslid a long time ago. Amen. Amen. Every day that I wake up, brother, I've made up my mind. Today, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to read. I'm going to pray. I'm going to instruct my children. I will worship here at my house. I will be devoted at my house. I'm not going to wait the church to finally read Scripture. Amen. I'm not going to wait to go to church to finally lift up these old dusty hands and begin to sing and worship and pray. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to worship in my truck. I'm going to worship at the house. I'm going to seek God at the house. I've made up my mind. There's a lot of things in this world that I could choose to do. There's a lot of things that can get us down. But what other choice do we have than to continue to serve the Lord? It's the best decision that I've ever made. I'm telling you, friend, I've made up my mind. Amen. It doesn't matter what I face. It doesn't matter how hard it gets. It doesn't matter what temptation may come my way. I've decided, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. There's no going back. There's no option, amen, of going back to this old life of sin and guilt. I'm telling you, friend, we've got to make up in our minds to serve the Lord. Amen. Simple thought. Nothing highfalutin, nothing crazy. No new revelation from God. The house. I want to say this. We talked about three things here tonight. We talked about your physical abode where you live. Your actual place of residence. We've talked about your family. We've talked about your heart. I'm going to go ahead and be honest with you. The most important out of these three is this last one. Because if we have this last one right, we'll get these two right. Amen. Brother Austin got saved when he was 14 years old. I've not been a perfect man. I wish you know that there are people that say, I wish I'd have started sooner. I just wish I could go back and start over. I'd serve him differently. I would. There are times, my oldest boy, he's 6. And even in the short amount of time that he's been alive, there's been fluctuations in my life. Perhaps maybe I was too busy, maybe I got caught up or distracted, or I didn't act a certain way, or I didn't do a certain thing. Because my heart wasn't purposed to serve God, or because I did something that was not right, it affected him. Come on now. But I've realized something, Brother Shane. I am the priest of this home. I am the head of this house. Amen. Every man that's got a woman, every man that's got a wife, you got children, you are the head of your home. It's not the other way around. You are the head. Amen. And the spirituality of your church is based off of not your wife. It's based off of you. Brother Eddie, if I'm not doing good,
my family struggles.
If she's not doing good, it might rock us a little bit, but it's still okay.
Then babies ain't doing good, you know. If they ain't doing good, it might rock us a little bit, but it's all right.
But if daddy's not doing good, it's devastating. It is. You've got to make sure our hearts have been purposed to serve the Lord. Everybody would stand. Like I said, just a simple thought. The house. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Do you feel that here tonight? You feel the stirring of the Spirit? God dealing with you, speaking to your heart. I know it was simple. I know. It wasn't good expository stop. I get it. I understand that. I felt the Holy Ghost just as strong, preparing for this, dealing with me, as I did sitting here trying to preach it to y'all. God wants to draw us closer unto Him. But it starts in your heart. It starts with your family. And it starts at your home, at your house. Amen. And ask the church at this time, those that are willing and those that are able, let's gather on these altars here tonight and let's get a hold of God. If there's anybody in this place that needs to come and pray,